Welcome to the festive Christmas edition of the Shut Up and Write podcast. As I pressed record, Ben went, "No, wait, stop." But now I want to know why he said, "Wait, stop." I was gonna
run to the tech room and grab my carriage bells because we have bells, like jingle bells for Christmas for the carriage horses.
That'll be good.
So I was gonna jingle bells as in with bells.
But
you'd already pressed record, and I'd already turned up 15 minutes later with equipment that wasn't working. So,
it's jingle, but jingle bells,
jingle bells.
Benji ran away. Is that right?
Yeah, something like that. He's on the red wine as well. My goodness.
Well, I went to get my customary Shut Up and Ride lager, because I'm a classy girl. But my beautiful wife was like, "No, have wine so we can open a bottle so I can have wine." So I was like, "Yeah, cool. That would be fun."
Yeah, you can't open a bottle solo. You have to because otherwise you end up realizing you've drunk a whole bottle to yourself. And then that's when, that's not good.
Or the opposite of what we've just done is we've just banished a bottle of Malbec that had been opened into being cooking wine. And I was like, I think that's been open a bit long. That's offered a pie.
Yeah. I don't tell my husband. I just let him go for it. He can't seem to tell how long it's been open for. He's like, "Yeah, that's fine."
Greg is like, "Oh, this wine's wonderful." Jenny's like, "Don't tell him. It's balsamic. He'll be fine. He just drinks it."
Oh, right. Merry Christmas. We are a few days away from Christmas. I'm really hoping I get the time to edit this before it goes out. Another year has gone by and we have still been sponsored, supported by the brilliant Charles Owen. We love them so much. Merry Christmas to Charles Owen.
Merry Christmas.
And yeah, we haven't seen each other since Your Horse Live. I feel like I'm literally like, I have not stopped. I've worked in
You've
Vegas.
You've been all over the world.
I have. I went to Thailand for work and then it was only meant to be 2 weeks. And they were like, "Oh, you've done a really good job. Can you stay for the next games?" Because we did the FEI Asian Championships. And literally like 4 or 5 days later, they were having what's called the SEA Games, which is the Southeast Asian Championships, which is like their Olympics. It's not just horses. It's like everything.
Excuse me.
In Thailand.
Bless you.
And they were having it at the same venue. So they were like, "Can you stay for another 2 weeks, please?" And because I like money and Christmas is around the corner. I was like, "Oh, okay." So now I'm really tired.
I bet you are. You must be knackered.
I am so tired. Like, I don't think I've ever been this tired. I'm someone, if I have a day snooze, I can't sleep at night. Yesterday, I had 3 snoozes in the day. 3. And then still slept fine at night. Like, I'm so tired.
That's insane. You must have been... Were you locked away in a little box while you were filming? Well, only because you are the palest person I have seen for someone who has spent a month in Thailand. Were you not?
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty pale. No, because I have to be in the OB truck. Thanks, Ben.
I think you've got less tan. I think you're more tanned when you go hiking in Canada all the time than when you've spent a month in Thailand.
Yeah, I wasn't sunbathing, I was working, you lunatic. So yes.
Yeah, but that's what it means. Were you in a box working?
Yes, literally. I was in the OB truck, which is the four-class truck. And it's got aircon as well, so it's bloody freezing.
No, but what
you
mean
did,
is that...
But you did do some really cool things though as well. Like, you weren't stuck in it the whole time. Like, you did go and like see some elephants and stuff.
It was a beautiful polo club and they'd set up a big, so it was all like dressage, para dressage, eventing, show jumping. So I was out walking the course for the eventing with Max Cochran and Helen West. It was Alec Lahore who's driving us around in a buggy. He's like, "Yeah, just be careful when you walk in the course because there's snakes and we found one under the scoreboard. If it's black and white, run." I was like, "Oh, who's doing this in British eventing, going around Cornbury? No." And then we did find a green snake in one of our camera towers. And it was, it was nuts. I was like, "Oh my God, this is how I die."
What was it? Was it a grass snake?
It was a big green one. I don't know. As long as there's no follow-up questions, I have no idea. But it was pretty terrifying.
It was green and it looked very vicious.
Yes, it was quite funny watching Spencer Sturmey run away from it. But yes, and what was hilarious on this trip is because you're obviously in the truck and you're producing, and I'm producer and whatever, but none of my camera crew spoke any English. So you had to do everything via a translator who was called First, brilliant first. He was the nicest guy, but he's like, oh, I'm not here tomorrow, Jenny. My brother's coming. I'm like, okay, what's your brother called? And he's like, B. I'm like, your brother's called B. And he's like, yes, because I was the firstborn and he was the second. So my parents named him B. And I was like, I don't know if you're being serious or not. This is really funny.
And he was being serious, though.
He was being serious.
So basically, his brother's plan B.
Yes, exactly. But they were brilliant. But it just meant on every instruction you gave everyone, like, oh, can we go to camera four? That had to then go through a translator to tell the cameraman to then go to it. So it was challenging, but these guys were amazing. So not all crew, but a lot of crew in the UK or other places I've worked can be a little bit like, oh, do we have to? Long days, whatever. And a bit moany. A bit moany. Not everybody, but some can be a bit moany. And these guys were like, oh, it's too much light. Sod it. Don't have something to like to cover the camera. They just make it out of cardboard. Suddenly we're out in the cross country. We could really do with a tower here. Do you remember conversations I've had in advance at events to get a tower for a camera and how much effort that takes? We were like, oh, we could really do with a tower by the water. Next day, someone had knocked up a tower. It was just like, they were on it. They were the best crew ever. There was like
they
nothing
were keen beans.
Difficult. Oh, they were amazing. And they were bloody good at their job as well. Like really good camera ops, really amazing crew. Like, yeah, it was amazing. But yeah, the language barrier was quite entertaining.
But you had Harry helping you.
I did. Harry Sykes, lovely Harry. He was the videographer. So he made all the lovely videos that went on the board. Oh, and then at one point, my translator first, this was funny. He every day was bringing me in different Thai snacks, which I very much enjoyed. But one day he came in and he had like this dried fruit. And he was like, Jenny, this is plum. And I was like, oh, okay. And it just didn't look very appetizing. He's like, no, Jenny, you put my plum in your mouth and you suck slowly. And I said, oh, first, that's what my husband says to me. Which he laughed at. But I think he was
but
just laughing.
But he didn't know why he was laughing.
No. So the next day, he had his dried plums out again. And he was like, Jenny, Gary, who was our technical director, has explained to me what plums are in England. And I was like, yeah. So now do you find it funny when I said that's what my husband said? And he was like, suddenly it all clicked into place. And he was meant to be like switching the cameras and translating, but he was crying with laughter because he suddenly realized what I'd meant about putting his plums in my mouth. So yeah, it was very funny. Anyway, that was my Thai story. And I got to hug an elephant. We went on a day trip to elephants, which was very entertaining. And we went
How
in water.
Do you feel, what do you mean like a day trip to elephants? I thought so you'd been...
Oh.
Just like, isn't it one of those weird things? Like, you're not meant to support the elephants and stuff.
Oh, no, these are rescue elephants.
Okay, so, cool. That's kind of the point I was trying to get.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is a sanctuary for elephants that have been, like, ridden or working and logged and have, like, holes in their heads where people have put hooks. And they now roam free around this sanctuary. And they come over because you get a big basket of food. And then you get to put them in the mud and then you cover them in mud and then you can take them in the water. And yes, no. So the elephant that me and Harry Sykes fell in love with, we called her Nelly because we couldn't pronounce her name. She was 58 and had only been there 7 years. So she'd spent 51 years being ridden and pulling logs around and having an awful time.
How old do elephants live until?
Pretty old.
Like people, I think.
Yeah. But she was a sad elephant, but we were giving her lots of loves and cuddles. And
the pictures looked amazing.
It was amazing. It was very, I don't know, what's the word? Like, I don't know, like they kind of look into your soul. I don't know how to describe it. Like they've got amazing eyes and they're very cool. But yes, so I got to pat an elephant, which made me, and we made paper out of elephant poo, which is something I won't be putting on my CV.
Nice.
Oh, it's amazing. I'm glad you've had so much fun because like when you say I've been working in Thailand for a month, everybody expects you to be having fun, but it's not always like that. Sometimes it's just like, no, I could have been working in Stockton-upon-Tees, just not with my family or friends for a month.
Stroud, yeah. There was highs and lows, like everything, like every job. There was a few moments where I wanted to push a few people off a balcony. But there was also like some really good bits and like... But you're, yeah, what, like every morning being woken up by six howling dogs was quite entertaining. I used to like it. There's like stray dogs everywhere. But yeah, it was good. It was just, it is like getting the videos from home of like the school play happening and not seeing it and your kids, missing your kids. It's a long time to be away. It's a long time.
A month is a long time. Like it's like a 12th of your year.
I know.
It?
Wow. Like, you can do maths, Ben.
Just about. Just about. You say that. I got a, how do I tell this story? Like, I got a pay rise from my online business and then calculated it, went to George and was like, this is how much I earn a year. And she was like, no, darling, it's more than that. That's how much you'd earn if a year had 10 months. I was like, oh, this is fantastic.
That's great. Even more exciting.
Yeah. I was like, oh, and I'd budgeted with my new money with 10 months in a year. Like, this is the weirdest thing. Just as a side note, like from this online business, this is my weirdest first time in my life where I get paid like a normal person. Like, oh, payday's on this day. It's very nice. It's quite relaxing to like have a. Oh, I've lived my entire working life as like work as much as you can to make money and then hoard the money while you're skint and have no work. And no, I'm
so what is it? Which is your payday?
I get paid on the 17th
of every month.
Of every month,
which is how I celebrate every moment on every 17th now.
I do. I sit there going, "Yes, I can put fuel in the car again. Let's fucking go!" But oh, I'm very jealous, Jenny, that you got to spend a month in Thailand. Had you been to Thailand before, or was that your first time?
No, we were in Pattaya, which apparently is a bit of the armpit of Thailand. Sorry to anyone who's from Pattaya, but that is what I was told. But we were down the road on a beach further down from Pattaya. But some of the crew did go to the, what's called, I think it's called Walking Street, where women may fire things out of their vaginas, like ping pong.
Was you really close to that, were you?
Yeah, we were close to that area. But we were working at the Thai Polo Club, which is beautiful. But I just, a little bit of me, like, obviously there's bits of Thailand that I would love to go and see, the people, the culture, like, amazing food, like, absolutely lovely. But where we were was not, like, in front of a hotel, the beach was amazing. But either side, if there was no hotel, like, the beach was just covered in plastic. So it was just, like, a little bit heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. But yes, so my DJ for, because obviously you have a DJ for the ring, he went to the Walking Street with what's called our kind of replay operator and obviously went and did the tourist thing. And apparently some lovely lady wrote her signature and wrote him a letter using a pen that was controlled by her vulva. I have to say her penmanship was quite excellent. But I was like, wow, that's a talent. How do you find out you have that talent?
This is vaginal writing.
Vaginal writing, yes. yeah. I don't
that is
like
quite the talent.
It is quite the talent, yes. So yes, there was there's that kind of element to it, and you hear about these things, don't you? But I'm very naive to this stuff. But
not anymore.
Well, no, I didn't go to Walking Street myself.
Did you have a go?
No, did I have a go? Yes. I'm gonna try it at home later.
That's how you can write Gregor's Christmas card.
Happy birthday. Happy Christmas, darling. I wrote that with my vagina.
Can I just say, you're two of the only men I know who are very comfortable saying the word vagina. Most men recoil, but you two are like, no, that is a word I'm going to say.
Well, that's what it's called, isn't it?
I know, but like my brothers are like, ooh, can't say that word. It's like vulva. It's not the nicest of words, is it? But no, I'm terrible at writing. Maybe my handwriting would be vastly improved if I could learn this skill.
You might get some funny looks.
You what, at the bank?
In the bank, yeah.
Can you sign this?
I was just thinking that.
Of course.
1 second.
I just imagine them sat at the kiosk. Yeah, keep the pen. That's fine.
Yeah. What would be more impressive if you could click it on and off with your vagina as well?
Do you reckon you could do that?
No, Simon, I don't.
I know you're very talented, Jenny, very talented in lots of ways.
Oh, right. Oh, but anyway, enough about my Thailand adventures.
Anyway, Ben, what have you been signing things with recently?
Me? I can't.
Could you sign it with your bottom?
It's all in the really. We're giving the vagina a lot of credit here. Like it's all in the hips, isn't it? Really, I'm guessing. Whichever lady's got this penmanship, do you know? I bet she'd sit a mean sitting trot. Like,
yeah, she would.
That's,
that
it's going to be all in the hips.
Yeah,
I think I'd struggle at the moment.
That core strength. No, not core strength. What's the other sort one?
Pelvic floor strength.
Pelvic floor.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be able to do it at the moment, to be honest, Simon. I think I couldn't squat down in the correct position and have hip mobility with my knee. Another thing that's spoiled by my blooming knee, I can't use my little chocolate starfish to write Christmas cards this year, as I normally do.
You have such a way with words, Ben.
2025 is such a letdown in comparison to last year.
Yeah, writing with your hands is so 2025. Like, we're moving to 26.
So dull.
Oh. It's like, yeah, it's the evolution of that very, very demure, very mindful.
Oh my gosh. This is literally taken a downhill turn. So, Ben, what have you been up to since Your Horse Live, where we saw you trying to run people over with your scooter?
What have I been up to? I did Horsemanship Showcase, which was
of course you love that,
amazing.
Don't you?
Yeah, I love that one because, like, we do, it's a 3-day show, and we did, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We did a fashion show on Friday, we did a load of competitions with like alternative styles. So we did show jumping. But there was like a category for people that wanted to jump bitless, a category for people that wanted to jump bridleless, and a category for people that wanted to basically do it more like dog agility, run around on foot and send liberty horses over the course of
things. I thought you were going to say, wanted to do it more doggy style.
No, doggy. Get your mind from the gutter.
Jenny Rudel, you are terrible.
And so like, that was really cool. And then I judged a liberty competition, and they also had like basically like it was like an obstacle course, but if you imagine Handy Pony, but like difficult enough that adults would find it difficult.
How do you judge that? Is that based on like performance, or is that based on your what you like?
On what? On which bit?
When you were judging? Yeah.
So it's judged on different categories. There's a category that's sort of overall performance, all of it together. Then there's the difficulty of the exercises used, a little bit like judging a freestyle, I assume.
Yeah, or ice skating.
Yeah, and then there's the, like, how subtle their cues are. So, like, the softer and more seamless their communication with the horse, the more the marks they get, the more obvious or the more clunky, or perhaps, you know, sort of bit more heavy-handed things are, the less marks you get. And then also with liberty, sort of the idea of this idea of harmony, but harmony meaning, you know, the horse never leaves the person, the expression of the horse while they're working with the person, all of those things to judge it. And I really enjoy it. I've judged before in America, but what I was blown away by was just like the amount of people we had entered. Like, we put
that's
it on
really just, good
just as like a crazy thing. And I'll take my hat off and say I was wrong. I've said before on here that like I'm terrified about the idea of a warm-up arena full of people bridleless.
Yeah.
I saw it. And it was beautiful. Like, there was everyone from adults on warm bloods to kids on ponies, all in neck ropes, no bridles, like ran like a normal warm-up arena with the jumps and stuff. Do you know, just was super cool. Like, and I'm not saying like, you know, it wasn't like being a Longines event yet, but like just super cool that it happened and was in the world. And then Friday night we did a fashion show with horse, like we're all horse based, and then we have demos and education stuff all throughout all day Saturday and Sunday. And on Saturday,
sorry, hang on, fashion show, is this,
I want it, like, who was in the show, the horse or the rider?
Both.
Were you in this, or were you judging this?
I was just watching this. George was in it.
Oh, okay.
But it would be stuff like, say, like, so Ariat are a sponsor of that event. So they sent a load of horses out in Ariat, like, kit and numbness, and the riders wearing Ariat kit, and then people on the floor in Ariat kit, and then there was, like, a Western Saddlery company. So, like, horses wearing horse stuff, humans wearing the human stuff, but just from all the different brands and stuff that were at the event or wanted to be in this fashion show. And then, like, yeah, educational demos throughout Saturday and Sunday in three different arenas all day. And then on Saturday night, we do a massive production. So we rehearse for a full week at the venue before we do the Saturday night production. And what was pretty cool this year is that I got to write it because I've obviously been off with my knee. So we did like a horse.
Is that the first time you've done that?
Yeah, first time I've written a proper script for people to like I've written rough scripts before, but like this had actors delivering dialogue and then like loads of different voiceovers. And we did horses through history all the way from like an interpretation of the first people working with horses, like 3,500 BC, all the way up to the First World War.
And was that your idea or was that something that the show wanted you to come up with?
No, it is my idea, and then
that's really cool.
Did all the research?
Yeah,
I can definitely get so you guys can see it. I don't know if I can get so the public can see all of it, but we can definitely see bits of it.
Yeah, I've seen some photos. It does look really cool.
That was really fun. And then, so we're at Showcase for those 3 days, and then after that, I did my last job of the year, which was actually another fashion show for Lemure. Which is super cool.
Love me.
And they wanted, so I did a team of 6 Liberty horses all in, you know, rugs with full necks with different Lemure rugs on each horse, different Lemure boots on each horse, different Lemure head collars on each horse. Which was super cool. Like it was really nice. That was for like an internal Lemure thing with different Lemure people from all around the world. So yeah. That's what I've been up to. And then since then, I've been just resting, hanging out with my baby. Me and George went to Olympia.
And you saw Becky Moody doing her Christmas freestyle. Good was that?
It was amazing. And Bomb was absolutely on fire. And I think like what is amazing is like, I think that's the third time I've seen Bomb do the freestyle or do the Grand Prix. Twice at Olympia now and once at Hoy's, I think. And the difference in him, like, he was
getting
obviously
better and better.
Yeah. And I mean, I mean, seen in person, not seen online. Like, if you'd have told me she was on a different horse, then, like, I'd have believed it because he was, like, he's grown so much. Like, obviously,
his frame is amazing. Like, he just holds this soft frame the whole time. Yeah. It's so wonderful. Have you seen the test, Simon?
Nope.
Oh my God, you should listen to it. It is, she's done it all to Christmas music.
I've seen a couple of little clips and it looks
it's on her
amazing
Moody Dressage Facebook page. And also, Simon, by the way, you need to watch it because we announced that you are getting to ride, you lucky fucker. You are getting to ride. Man. I'm just so jealous. You're getting to ride.
I'm really, really excited about this, but I did wake up in the middle of the night the other night thinking, what happens if I can't get him to go at all? And I look really stupid. But then that's quite funny.
You won't.
That is the thing, isn't it? Because like, he's going to have different buttons to like Buster or something.
Well,
like,
I mean, don't do Passage or Piaf or any of that kind of stuff.
You're going to have to. So anyone who wants to see Simon riding Bomb has to book tickets to Bishop Burton just for like, I am just going to enjoy this so much. I think you're going to have a fun time.
It's going to be great. But isn't she like, that is so generous and like, you know, it's amazing of her to say, oh yeah, because it was so casual. She's like, oh yeah, why don't you just ride him? I was like, yeah. But to start with, I was like, yeah, you're really funny. Oh no, you mean it. This is amazing. So yeah. I'm very excited.
I would be nervous. Like, I was thinking about this because when we were watching him, me and George were like, ooh, like, do you know, Simon's going to ride him. And then I said to George, I was like, I'd be a little bit clenchy bum if I was Simon.
Yeah, very clenchy bum.
Not already. Hold a pen up there.
Not for what you've already.
Signing my name away.
I'd be like, just because all the stories we've heard about Bomb are like, yeah, and then I arrived at the Olympics and he absolutely lost his shit because he's really hot. And then I was at this competition and then I got on Bomb and he was like losing his shit because he's so hot. And I'm like, oh. Like, I think even though he looks so lovely and rhythmical when he's in those tests, I'm like, there's obviously a side to Bomb.
But that makes it even worse, doesn't it? Because it looks beautiful and rhythmical and lovely and harmonious and amazing. And then I'm going to get on and be like...
Just keep watching videos of Becky and being like... Then you'd be like, cool, are my hands where Becky's hands are? Am I going to... Does my leg go where Becky's leg goes? I want to get on.
Put my hands down by my knees and then leg too far
all
back.
Very so well. You like it being really fun, but you've got to do it in front of like 600 people.
I know. How cool is that?
Well, if we sell all the tickets, it'll be 600 people. We've still got like 50-odd tickets left to sell or 100 left. So buy tickets, people. Come and watch Simon.
Come see us.
Either Simon's greatest moment on a dressage horse or his demise. We have no idea which is going to happen.
It could be either or. Who knows? But whatever happens, I'm going to have a lovely time doing it.
We should sell popcorn.
Yeah. It also, hats off to Becky, because not only was that test bloody amazing, it just looks effortless. Like, she just looks so cool doing it. Like, I'm not saying this because she's just the nicest person, but like, it does look like they're both enjoying it. You know, all this like hoo-ha with dressage at the moment and whatever. But genuinely, that horse looks like he loves it. And she just is so chill.
Such a good thing for British dressage, FEI dressage, with everything that's been going on. And like, you know, with Charlotte coming back, I know like it's, you know, Charlotte's come back and it's created a little bit of a, like, well, quite a lot of chat, hasn't it? And in a positive and negative way. But you've got Becky there, and she's so personable, and she's such a great ambassador for the sport, and the horses is going so brilliantly, looks fabulous. Like, it's just so good that we've got her. And I think she's a really important part of dressage at the moment.
And she's fun.
Biggest things I would say from watching her on Friday was... just to say how content and chill that horse is. Like, and I'm not putting shade on anybody else, because loads of my horses would do the same. But when they'd finished their test and did their salute, and the riders, you know, drop the reins and go to ride out on a long rein, the crowd would go mad. And 99.9% of the horses started to sort of hit up and get a bit daft, and the riders would have to get hold of them like any of us would. And the bit that blew mine and George's mind when we watched Becky on Bomb is she did her salute, dropped the buckle on his neck, turned to walk to the gate. The crowd went fucking insane.
And he was whatever.
And cool. Becky and Bom may as well have been walking down a bridle track on a hot summer's day. Like, he just plodded his way out with his little ears pricked and his little head bobbing away. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that horse may as well have been on a hack. And I'm just like, that just shows how chill he is. And I know that's not always, you know... not every horse will ever get that chill in that environment or those things. But I was like, it's such a credit to her in every single moment. It was just amazing. And it was cool.
A privilege to be there by the sounds of it.
Yeah. Just like, and like, I think I'm getting this right. I think there was only her and Lottie Fry that got into the 80s. Which was...
Yeah, she was second, wasn't she, Becky? Boo, yeah. Lossie Fry. No,
But like, even like me and George were laughing, and I was like, oh, I'm bummed for Becky that she didn't win. But then at the same time, like, if it's like, oh, I came second, but I got beaten by Lottie Fry on Glamourdale, they're like, there's plenty of honour in losing to Lottie Fry in Glamourdale.
That is true.
She also won the hearts of everybody. Like, so many people have shared that test. Like, I think she won the public vote. I'm going to say this. I don't know if the world's ready. How is no one finding a little bit of irony or in the name of Charlotte's horse? Can we say this out loud?
There certainly is irony there, and lots of people have picked up on that.
Her big comeback at Olympia, and she's riding a horse called Alive and Kicking. Sorry, but come on, we can't. We are the podcast that says it how it is. Did no one else notice this? No one else?
Totally noticed it.
Ben's chewing his lead.
But it's more ironic than anything.
Ben, don't. You have to say something. You're normally the words.
No, I know.
Too far, even for us?
I have lots to say. Only because I don't want to sound like I'm witch hunting and I'm not. Yeah, the crowd cheered, but it wasn't the way Horse and Hound and stuff are making it out to be.
Yeah, right. I thought that would be like that.
It wasn't the conquering hero coming home. I shocked myself, and I'm a bit ashamed of myself. I really had to force myself to clap, which shocked me when I've defended her, like so often. because it just felt, I was like, I don't want to watch, after watching that video, I don't want to watch you ride.
Okay.
Which really, I was angry at myself for. I did clap, of course I did, and stuff.
But it was also, for me, it was also the way that she like, responded afterwards when she was interviewed. Like, that's obviously the first time she's actually been interviewed about stuff. And she didn't broach the subject at all, did she? I don't think, from what I understand, from what I've seen. And I kind of feel like that was a really good opportunity to be able to broach, well, not broach it, like not to go into detail about it, but maybe like be apologetic in some sense about it. And be so grateful to be back. I don't know. Or am I wrong? Should she have just carried on and acted like nothing has happened?
I think it's so hard. There are other riders who have since... There are worse videos that have come out. Like, I think there are videos worse than what we saw there that have come out.
Mm. Yeah.
And other riders don't seem to have been given the same level of scrutiny. But with fame comes a magnifying glass. If you're going to be the little... You're going to be every little girl's hero. You're the poster on the wall. You're the face.
So it's a massive responsibility.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it all. Like, fair play to her.
That's an honest reaction. That's, again, a lot of people will be feeling the same. So I think it's important to talk about it. I don't think sweeping any of this under a rug, whether it be Charlotte or Heath Ryan or Andrew Thingy in America, like, I feel like just... I don't know. It feels a little bit like, oh, these people have had a ban and therefore we don't talk about it anymore. Whereas I feel like it's not necessarily like we're hashing over old stuff and bringing it up. It's more if we don't keep talking about this stuff, why is there ever going to be a change? Because it's like, oh, you get a ban and everything goes back to normal. Whereas if you've got to keep the conversation going for there to actually be a change. I don't know.
But that's, I would say, because I know you said, Simon, that you've seen positive and negative. I've not seen any negative.
I've seen quite a lot of negative. I've seen quite a lot of negative as well. Literally, coming back, to be fair.
I've only seen people being like, amazing, like, good for her.
But the majority of negative stuff that I've seen then gets completely parried by somebody jumping in to defend her. And saying, oh, she's done her time, and, leave her alone, kind of thing. But like you said,
hard.
Like you can't sit there and having seen what you've seen, you're finding it difficult to, you know, well, applaud her. And I kind of get that. But some people seem to be, I don't know, I find it a bit weird how everyone was so damning of her at the beginning, like so damning. Nobody said anything that was like trying to stand up for her in the slightest. And now that we've kind of come round, people are quite a lot. They're trying to justify what happened or say, oh, she's, you know, she's been punished, so now we will need to leave her alone. Well, it'd be quite nice to know that she's been punished and she's learned from it, and, you know, and that's why I think she would be advisable to talk to some, like, a, well, interviewer about how, you know, this has really affected her life and it affected her attitude to how she trains her horses, because you'd like to think it would have done.
Yeah, and I think it's so difficult, isn't it? Like, genuinely, and this is because it's me, like, I could bump face first into Charlotte on the street and I wouldn't know who she was. Like, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
And when I say things, the reason I say that is, like, we're taking such a snapshot. Like, my entire view of Charlotte's life, my entire knowledge of Charlotte as a person, as a human, is blummin' heck, she rode that horse well at London for the Olympics, and then that video. That's kind of it. And a couple of times I've seen her at Your Horse Live, and she's been wonderfully complimentary about my work and stuff when she's seen it. So it is a snapshot into someone's life. I'd hate for someone to look at my worst day and have it caught on camera and then be like, that's who Ben is all the time. But I think it's just a weird one. Like, George made a very good point. I think one thing Charlotte absolutely is worthy of praise for is, like, the way she's got back to this level of sport and fitness after having a child so quickly, I think is phenomenal. But I think it's a weird one.
And to come back, like she has, is so ballsy to do what she's done.
Well, and she got fifth, I think, at London. Mm. Which was still crack it, and that was that horse's like second time out or whatever at an event that size. I think maybe my sort of relation, obviously not with Charlotte as a person, but as a public figure, is going to feel a little bit like when you have a dodgy breakup when you're young, and then you decide to give it another go. And there's that little weird patch in the beginning. Do you know what I mean? Where you're like, oh, well, yeah, we know everything happened, but this is what we like. Do you know? Because everybody deserves a second chance, always. A second, a third, a fourth. I don't think you can give people too many chances. But at the same time, I just mean it's all over. I don't know. Maybe.
Are there interviews directly
with
her?
I'm just so cynical these days.
I've not seen any interviews with her, like, of her opinion on stuff, how things have been going. Have I missed something?
I've not seen anything.
Bits and bobs. I'll send stuff. I'll have a dig and send some stuff. But I think fair play to her. Well done. Maybe I'm just being a bitter arsehole that can't let go because I've got a bad knee and I've got too much time on my hands. Yeah.
I think you are very... You are
Benjamin, that's not how you roll.
So many people are feeling the same. Go and write a letter with your ass. You'll be fine. I think you are articulating the way everyone feels. I think as well, people are desperate to carry on the dream of... She was someone who changed British dressage. We want to believe in the good. We want to believe that this is how, like, the horses should be trained, that she's doing it right. For me, the issue for me is there is such an opportunity to do good in these situations, to turn it round, to be... to good PR, to work for an animal charity. Like we say, I mean, any of these horses, 99% of their life is spent in absolute luxury. There's horses in Egypt, Africa, whatever, wherever in England that have an awful time of it. There is such an opportunity here to go, do you know what? I'm going to fucking turn this around. Let's do some work. Let's use my fame, good or bad, to raise awareness for some other charities and animals. And I think that's the problem for me is these guys who they just go into a hole of silence. And it's like, come on, apologize. Let's make some good out of it. Let's raise awareness. I don't know. I just think there's so much we could do. And I had an argument with a very, very well-known dressage judge trainer about this, who was ranting about how Charlotte had been thrown under a bus and all these things. And I was like, well, you can only be thrown under a bus. I think she got there herself. I think she threw herself under a bus.
Laid down on a zebra crossing. Yeah.
Yes. She did. What she did was wrong. Bus or no bus. Yes, when the video was released, it was obviously planned and well-timed. And that part of it was horrific. It should have been done properly through the proper authorities when it happened. But at the end of the day, Charlotte, Matt, all these riders, Andrew... These people lay down, like you said, on a zebra crossing. They did something wrong and they need to make amends for it. And then I think they need to take the opportunity to do some bloody good in the world because it's just, I don't know. I just think you need to, I don't know how to do it, but I think something good could come out of bad.
And equine abuse that can be, abuse in training that can be clarified beyond doubt, I believe should be punished like steroids is.
Okay.
In competition, as in like you've won all these over the last 5 years, but then we found out you're juiced up to the gills in like cycling or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, then you don't get to keep those other titles because how on earth do we know that you weren't juiced out of your face winning those
that
as well?
Is that how it works?
Like once you're caught with steroids,
all titles. Right. Okay.
Yeah, because how can you prove that? You can't go back 4 years in the past and prove that you weren't on steroids then. I think that sends more of a message. If you'd shuffled the leaderboard in the past and been like, nah, because there's no proof you didn't train those horses like that. And we as a governing body will not say that that was all right. I think that would see more of a change because it's, but I don't know. I also don't think we can punish our way out of this because it's the same. It's the wrong mindset. You can't punish your way into a better world, can you? You need to re-educate. You need to incentivize.
Yeah. And we're getting sent videos all the time, like the video we got sent of warming up in draw reins. I mean,
video of that guy jumping just in draw reins?
Well, I haven't seen the jumping. I've seen the warming up.
I've seen a video of a guy. George showed me it. I'll see if she's still got it and I'll send it to you guys. Of a guy jumping round a track at an event with no reins on the bridle, just draw reins.
Just draw reins. I mean, that's just gross. That is gross.
Just draw reins. Not even being like, oh, bang a rein on the snaffle and I won't use it. Do you know what I mean? Like, didn't even have it on. No option to pick the reins up.
And from what you've been saying...
I just wanted to say, from what I saw at Olympia this year in the freestyle, the difference, I think it is changing. The way the horses were ridden, the outlines, the way the signals were given. Overall, head and shoulders better than it was a year ago.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because Jenny was saying it was an absolute joy to watch those tests.
There was probably about 5 seconds in total that I did not enjoy watching.
Well, okay.
The rest of it was ridden beautifully. She is, credit where credit is due, she is a master at her craft.
Oh, she's an incredible rider. Like, she is incredible.
The test was beautiful. The horse went beautifully. It was just that one little moment, and it got me because I was like, I just don't. And maybe it is. It's because I'm scared to say these things because I'm like, oh, she's important and I don't want to piss off the wrong people.
At a show I was at recently, my gosh, there was a little pony about to go in the arena and I was like, oh, look how cute this is. This is in the States. And the trainer, because they've all got trainers, everyone now, who walks and does everything for them, of this, I can't imagine the kid was older than 8 or 9. No, probably 9 or 10. The trainer was like, this pony needs to concentrate. He's about to go in to the 80 centimetres. I was like, oh, sorry. That's fine. Anyway, they're about to go in the gate to the 80 centimetres on this little pony. And the trainer, and the kid's got spurs on, you know, the flat ones that are quite pointy. And the trainer turns the kid's foot and rams the pony 5 times in the side while the kid held the reins. And then sent the pony in. And the saddest thing is, the pony barely reacted because it's probably so used to it. And I was like, does no one else see that? And I glared at the trainer. And I was like, where is there no stewards? No one's around. So anyway, I reported the trainer to the USHJA. That's right. Anyway, reported her. And then later on, her child won a class on a different pony. And we were meant to interview them. And my camera guy had already prepped it and gone, oh, by the way, we're going to interview you after class. And I got there to go and set up and do the interview. And I saw it was her and she saw it was me. And I glared at her and I just looked at my cameraman and went, no, I'm not interviewing her. Don't care if they've won. And she just saw me do it. And then they obviously walked off. I was like, no, I am giving you no airtime.
Well done.
Thank you very
much. Well done, Jenny Rudall.
I just couldn't believe it. I was like, what on earth is this teaching a child and B, just not okay. It was awful. So this stuff is happening and I will take them down from the inside one by one.
We had a similar thing where I want to be careful because especially when it's children, I don't want to give children hard time.
Yeah.
There's a child that does very well jumping online and an event I was at, the event contacted me to double check and said, we want to book this child to come and jump here. To show off because they're popular. What do you think? And I said, I'd really rather you didn't because I performed at an event where that child was jumping and after the pony came out and had got 4 faults, they absolutely laced it. And I was like...
Who was that?
Yeah. I was like, no. I'll tell you off air.
We're not in the business of naming and shaming. We'll send the proper authorities. Simon's like, ooh.
I think you'll be shocked.
I
was like, do not help that child get more famous. Fuck them. I was like, no. Like, I was like, if you want cool kids, I know loads. It annoys me. And I know this is, Ben, don't put horse abuse on different levels. If they had landed it behind the saddle, like if they'd landed from the fence in the jump off and got their 4 faults, and in temper at getting 4 faults or disappointment, giving the pony a crack. Still not acceptable, but to finish the round, ride back to the collecting ring, and then lose your temper with it. Oh, spiteful little. I was like, I wish it was the 80s so I could walk up and like grab the child off pony and clip it one. Like,
on the other side of that, have you seen that lovely video that made the rounds this year of the kid who the whole pony stops at the jump, the kid falls off, and then she just turns around and hugs it. I love that. So there are nice kids out there as well.
And then for the sake of argument, people need to know it can go the other way as well. So I had a very good friend and client of mine in a sort of a lesson recently, sort of turned around to me and was like, I've taken trying to be empathetic and soft too far, haven't I? And this horse is just walking all over the top of me. And I was like, yeah. I was like, you know, we're looking for gentle, kind, sympathetic guidance, but guidance. That, you know, being a, you know, it letting the horse do what it wants, quite literally what it wants. You're just creating a monster and you're creating a horse that other people aren't going to like. Mm-hmm. Where, like, so there's a middle ground. Like Tristan Tucker, you've seen his adverts for the TRT method online.
Yeah, they're funny. He's funny.
Like Tristan, and sorry, Tristan, if any of you or your pupils hear this and I butcher it, but he has a brilliant thing where he says there are three types of people that work with horses. You have the dictator, the mother, and the leader. The dictator is the person that when they get frustrated with a horse and it's not going well, they beat it or they're rough with it. The mother is the person who, when the horse isn't going well, is like, oh, it's because they were in a traumatic Eiffel Williams accident when they were three. You're like, yes, Deborah, it's now 25. Like, and been to Hoy's three times. I don't think it's bothered by that anymore. Like, but, you know, either side of that is as bad for the horse. Whereas the leader is the person that says, no, I'm going to push you out of my space when you bite me to show that if you're going to act like that, you're not in my herd. And we're going to work on that. Don't know how that social interaction. But at the same time, it's the person who, when the horse gets scared at the bottom of the lorry, they're like, right, let's explain this to you bit by bit, but doesn't just pick up a whip and say, nah, you're going on. And it's that's what we should all be aiming to be. Not a dictator, not overly mothering, but this idea of being a diplomatic but firm leader. And I think that's a nice way to... But I can't take credit for that. That's all Tristan.
I like that.
I think that's something that's very cool. Similar to what you would say anyway. Are you a leader, Simi?
Am I a leader? Well, I hope so. I'd like to think so.
I'm a leader up until one scares the shite out of me. And if I'm on top and I'm scared shitless, then I'll very quickly become the mother.
A runner.
Like, oh, maybe we should get its back checked again or something. I don't know. I'm getting off. Yeah.
That's so true. I'm very much a leader until I'm riding my own horse. And then I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, no, it's definitely his horse. That's why he's being a bugger.
It is 1 degree colder today. Maybe that's why. Let's finish. It's going to be fine. Yeah. We're all fine. I'm fine.
The excuses are all coming out now.
Simi, how have you been? Because we haven't heard from you yet.
I've been very good.
How have you?
What have I done? I haven't been competing much, but been riding the horses. Done quite a lot of teaching. I went to the Horse and Hound Awards night, and I sat next to Roz Cantor, and she won Rider of the Year, and Walter won Horse of the Year, so that was really cool. And then Becky was sat over just from where I was, and she won, Bom won Dressage Horse of the Year, which is really cool. It was really nice to be there with those guys when that happened. And she said they were both so nice. Roz is quite big now. She's very pregnant. And she's on really good form.
Oh my god! I'm so glad you said that. I was like, that is the bitchiest remark in the world, Simon. And then he was like, oh yeah, she's pregnant. Yes.
When you said she's quite big now,
she went, yeah, I'm sat near her. She's quite big now. Long pause.
I was like, no,
Simon.
And also considering Ben thinks she's called Rot Canter and has done for the last 10 years. Ross has put on a few pounds.
You're being nice, Jenny. Let's not pretend. I've not known who Roz Cantor is for 10 years, have I? Like, not because of that. Like, they're massively... I'm just useless. But yeah, did you wear your kilt?
You are not used to that. Yeah, I wore my kilt to that. And then I wore my kilt to, I went later that week, I went and presented the British Eventing Support Trust Ball, where we made, drum roll, £180,000 for the British Eventing Support Trust, which is pretty amazing.
Oh my Lord.
£180,000 in one night.
That is amazing.
Unreal. Unreal. All down to me, obviously.
That's insane.
No, it definitely wasn't down to me.
How?
We did a heads and tails game and everyone had to give some money for that. And then we did a silent auction and then we did a main auction and there were some really amazing prizes and some very, very, very generous people. And then I had a really good dance in my kilt and that was really cool. And then when it finished at 1 o'clock, it was at the Savoy in London. And when we finished at 1 o'clock, loads of people went into London and we went to a club in Trafalgar Square. And I got there, I don't know, probably 2 o'clock in the morning, something like that, and stayed there till 4 o'clock and had a really great dance. It was so good. I loved it. Love it. I was thinking that actually, I'm so glad I've had horses, you know, like in my life, because I reckon if I hadn't done horses, I would have ended up going into London to go and like follow the dream of being an actor or like, you know, somebody, going to drama school. I reckon I would have had like a really bad drug problem, probably like just got myself in so much trouble with drinking too much. And like, and just got in lots and lots of trouble. So it's quite good that I didn't, because I just love it. I love being in London. It's so cool. It's great fun. And I went to see The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, was it good? That's my favourite film of all time.
It was very, very good. Yeah, it was very good. I highly recommend. Miranda was suitably unpleasant to everybody, and they had some of the really they had some of the classic lines in there as well, and it was really good. And I went with my goddaughter, who's great fun, and her mummy. So it was really cool. It was really cool. Oh, and then I went to, do you know? Can you remember Nick Turner, Jenny?
Yeah. So he was an event. No. Why do I know Nick Turner?
He was an event rider, and now he's a coach. Well, he's not coaching as much, but he's got a private club in London, and it's just by the Coliseum Theatre. And I kind of was like, oh, Nick, I'm in town, thought I'd come and see you. And his partner John, they owned an event horse that I rode, and so it was really nice to see both of them. And their club's, it's really like really quirky. It's like down this tiny little back alley. It's really quirky, and they have like loads of really famous people go down there. Like Emma Thompson goes in quite often. Whenever she's in like in London, she goes down there, and they have like,
I love her.
They just have a really cool time. And so it was really nice going there too. So yeah, had quite a lot of fun in London town. So I didn't go out in my kilt to the club. I was in like normal clothes for the club, but like it was great because like I was on a podium and felt like a proper dancer, man. It was great.
Firing ping pong throwing... at your backside.
Yeah, yeah, exactly what I was doing.
I was going to say, were people throwing money at you, Simon?
They
I
were. Think
you
might have
ended
they
up
were
in a very
literally.
Different club.
there were young women who were down on the dance floor on the main dance floor who were laughing at me. So I think that maybe I look really stupid.
You're
but
laughing
do you know what? I don't really care. Either that or they thought I was amusing as the little old guy up there dancing.
You're never going to see these people again as long as you had fun.
Yeah, exactly.
That
so
is
who
amazing.
Cares?
Can I just say, us three have never been to a club together before, but my God, one day, is going to be hilarious.
Yes! Can we do it? Oh, God. Yeah. I just love it. I literally could dance all night long. Yeah. When I do.
You are actually quite good at dancing as well.
I don't know. I just love it. I love it.
What is your song if you're at a club that you have to dance to? What is it that comes on that's like, oh,
I don't
do you know
really
what?
Have anything like that. It's got to be quite clubby though. Like, I'm not.
Oh, has it? Oh,
yeah.
I'm cheese. I like a bit of cheese.
Like I went to an agricultural college, and like in the club in the town there, they put on "I've Got a Brand New Combine Harvester" or something like that.
Yeah.
And everyone would go mad. I'd be like, "Oh my God, this is amazing!" And I'd be like, "Oh, it's not for me."
you're looking for some like hardcore, like,
yeah.
Oh God, like doof music.
Yeah, doof, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
What about absolute classic that will definitely.
I thought you were
going to
say Aqua
Christmas.
Then.
Aqua. Yeah. I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world.
I'd be more like Castles in the Sky.
Yes. Brilliant.
Oh, tell me why.
Do we build castles in the sky?
Oh, tell me why.
Jenny, stop rolling your eyes.
Sandstorm.
Oh, yes, Sandstorm. That's brilliant.
I get my kids dancing to that.
Synesthesia, I really like that one. That's a trancey classic.
I got my friends, they are my friends, my children, into Sandstorm. I'm like, so Delilah was only like 2 years old and she would be like, Sandstorm, Mummy, Sandstorm. Alexa, hey, Sandstorm. And anyway, she was at nursery and they sent this lovely email saying, hi, we're going to have a little end of term party. Could you send in suggestions of what your children's favourite song is so we can play it? Obviously, most kids are sending in Horsey, Horsey, Don't You Stop or Bar, Bar, Black Sheep.
I love horses, and, they're my friends.
So I sent in Delilah's favourite song is Sandstorm by Daru. And here's a link to it on YouTube if you haven't heard. And they literally were like, are you serious? I'm like, absolutely deadly serious. It is Delilah's favourite song. So apparently all the kids in the nursery lasted about 10 seconds with do-do-do-do-do before a few of them started crying and they had to turn it off. I'm that parent. But they love it. Kids play Sandstorm and they build up to it as well. Like they get the build-ups. Excellent fun. Dance parties every Saturday night in our house.
I've got to tell you that I also went dancing at the O2 as well, arena. I went to see Mumford & Sons in concert. That was really cool. They're very good.
Bands are better live than they are not. Do you know what I mean? Like Coldplay.
They were superb. They were superb. Like the music was great and like we had a really good dance and it was excellent. I was with really cool people. But what I really like about that kind of thing is that there's clearly these lads that have like been doing this since they were really young together as mates and they are having such a laugh and everyone's so supportive of them and they're just having such a blast. I just find it, is inspiring the right word? I suppose inspiring is the right word. It's just so nice seeing them having such a blast. And like, you know, I just think it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
That's going to be like us when we're on tour, guys.
Yes.
We're going to be sitting up having such a laugh.
Yeah.
But don't you think it's like, so one of my best mates, I had two best men at my wedding. One was Ollie Phillips, who rides with me in the shows. The other is this lad called Josh Darby, who I've known since I was like three. And he's in loads of bands. Like he plays everything. Like he plays piano, he plays guitar, he sings, he writes.
I'm
very talented, very intelligent. But I have as much fun myself performing as I do watching JD perform. Like going, like there's something about watching someone live their passion that's just like the best thing, isn't it?
Amazing. It is amazing.
I went to university with a guy, is a friend of mine called Joe Steelgo. Not seen him since uni, but we were friends at uni. And his dad's Richard Steelgo, who's a famous composer, music guy, Dickie. And Joe used to was pretty good with the ladies. And I was like, oh, I don't see it. I did not find him attractive. Sorry, Joe. Anyway, we went one night to see him and his jazz band do a gig. And it was, I'm not really that into jazz, but it was amazing. It was so cool. And he's there on the piano. And I'm not joking. It made him sexy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just being super talented at something. I was like, Oh, I see it now. And then at one point, something happened to one of the instruments. It wasn't working, like a string boat broke on there. And he just did this kind of, just keep going, guys. And like, was obviously just massively freestyling it. And my God, it was sexy. I'd have dropped my pants right there and then. It was pretty cool. I was like, wow, that I see. So talent makes people good looking.
Yeah, no, it's very appealing. 100%. Very appealing. Yeah. Attractive. Attractive trait to be talented at something.
Yeah, Ben, actually, you're dog shit ugly, but really, we just love 100%. You because you're so good with horses. Yeah,
Do you know? So I've got something to say about how Ben looks, but maybe this is what's annoyed me this week, but I've been on a couple of podcasts recently, and I say, do you know, all the time, and I've never said, do you know, ever in my entire life, and it's because I spend too much time with Benjamin.
Because Ben says, do you know?
He says, do you know, all the time, doesn't he? Which is great.
He says, but like, as well, all the time. So much to the point, Ben, I get so annoyed when I'm doing this edit that I edit out your likes.
Yeah, because it would be do you know, like, do you know, like.
it's my verbal way of having a moment
to think.
I was going to say, but it'll set you two off, a throbber. Which
is that a thing?
So do you know like when
when
Netflix is loading,
yeah,
and you see the little wheel going round.
Or the wheel of death, I call it in our
house. That's a throbber.
That's called a throbber. Anything that like plays continuously on screen while it's loading is a throbber.
So you saying you know and like is you doing a throbber?
That's me. I'm processing. I'm going through the filing cabinets in my brain looking for what I'd want.
I think when Simon's talking about a throbber, it's definitely not going on in his brain.
No. But my throbber is an I say all the time.
Oh, it's when I look back at me presenting. And do you know the amount of times I go, well, we're so excited to have, or I'm so excited to be here. But oh my God, you're not that excited. Shut up, Jenny.
That's like loads of influencers, isn't it? They go, this is so exciting. It's like, it's really not that exciting. Really, it's not that exciting.
Or, hey, guys.
I say hi, team.
Do that.
I say hi,
team. Oh, hi, team. I do you.
Get it right, Jenny.
You're being more.
If you're going to take the piss at me, do it properly.
You are an influencer now, Simon.
I am not an influencer. I am an event rider that talks shit on camera sometimes.
I think being an influencer is soul destroying, isn't it? I saw we set up at Olympia and I saw poor Esme doing a meet and greet on stage.
I played her.
And then I went and watched driving and jumping and dressage and came back and poor Esme
and
still
there
stood
she was
there
still
doing a meet and greet. I was like, she is a trooper.
Yeah,
she is an absolute.
Well, just going that out there.
She's very sweet, isn't she? Like a kind
she's
soul.
She's very sweet. She's very sweet.
Every time I've met her, she's been really lovely. And her dad has actually given us advice on how to do better with this podcast. Do better, Jenny. That's what he said. No, he didn't. But he was talking about like the more behind
at the
scenes.
Moment, it's shite. Sort it out.
Do better. But no, I was A, very flattered that he knew about our podcast, and B, I'm too tired. And then secondly, he was talking about like the behind the scenes stuff of how to launch it and like Spotify, and was giving me advice, which I thought was very generous. Oh my God, you got the baby deer.
Oh my God,
you've just blown Ben's mind. For people listening, Simon has just launched the shop.
We're jumping.
Baby deer. Oh, the baby deer's gone.
This is so much better than the goat.
Sorry. She's gone. She's gone.
She's called Diana.
I'm
Diana
probably not actually allowed to show her. James is bringing it across with me, but yeah. Dido.
Why? Is that in case one day you eat her?
You are, sorry.
And then in case one day you guys eat her?
Yeah, we're definitely going to be eating her.
Is she not
she's
an edible
molting
deer?
A lot.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she's molting.
Wow. How,
I'm not
how,
sure she'd let me do
podcast?
That.
Can you get a deer coming into the podcast? It'd be nice if she had like sound effects. Like, what noise does she make? Does she make any noises?
She does. She has been known to scream when I'm trying to. She never does that when James is about, of course, because he is like Dr. Doolittle, and he like gives a little stroke on the neck and then quietly picks her up and then. But when he's away, I have to feed her. So like, and she's on milk. She's got at the moment, and she won't just come and. You have to have her on your lap and feed. And last time when I went to catch her, she wasn't mad keen. And she ran away and she screamed. And I was like, oh no, I feel really bad. But I have got to catch you because you need some food.
That anyone who just tuned in and missed the fact we were talking about a deer just heard Simon saying, when I catch her, she screams, but she doesn't scream for James, which sounds really what?
She likes James more. I make her scream.
Cheeky.
Oh, hello, darling. She's coming back. Sorry.
Oh, the deer's coming back.
I didn't know if that was the deer or your lovely Dr. Doolittle then with your hello, darling.
No, he's not back yet. Oh, can you see her? There she is. Yes.
It's great for a podcast, being able to see the deer.
I know, sorry. She's now walking around and she's going underneath our sofa.
She wasn't very sure of herself.
No, well, she's not, bless her. Good girl.
For everybody watching,
the biggest problem is...
It is a cat. It is cat-sized. It's not like Simon has like a 14-hand...
No, it's not cat
in his living room.
I'm going to have to move and let her under the seat. Hang on.
Okay. When you're back, let's do a... We've been going for an hour and a half, so let's do a festive...
She's
what do you want for
running
Christmas?
The kitchen. Sorry.
Oh, God.
She's now running the kitchen, and I've noticed there's a dog shit, so I'm just going to have to go and clear that up.
Oh, good. Good. Again, great, great podcast material. Thanks, Simon. What are you getting your son for Christmas then, Benji? Let's fill time before Simon gets back.
A saddle.
A saddle?
Yeah. A saddle. An inky dinky saddle. Have you seen them?
I have seen them. Yeah, they're really cute.
Getting him an inky dinky saddle. I got him a pair of reins for his living room rocking horse. Because we have a rocking horse. We have a small rocking horse in the living room, a small one in the dining room, and a large one in his bedroom.
Wow. What happens if he goes, do you know what, Dad? I don't like horses. Adoption?
Step one, paternity test. Step two, adoption. No, I really aren't bothered. Really, really, really aren't bothered. I think questions like, I think questions in that frame, it's more about what the parent wants, isn't it? I just want him to be happy, and I would like to give him the best leg up for it if he can be. He loves horses so far. Bit of nepotism. Who cares? But yeah, it's quite nice. And the reason I've got him reins for the rocking horse in the living room is because we're trying to teach my 4-year-old nephew to ride properly at the moment. And because he's ridden so often holding the mane and holding neck straps, he will not get on with the reins. He will not hold the reins. He doesn't believe that's not part of it. So I want to try and get ahead of the curve with Wild and get him used to holding the reins and faffing with
before
the reins.
Before you then take the fucking reins away. Surely he's then just going with the trend of no reins, Daddy.
He needs to learn first. Oh, he rode... We gave George a heart attack. I forgot we got this video when she wasn't around. But we had him on the miniature Shetland bareback and bridleless rearing the other day, which is quite fun.
Oh, my God.
I was holding him. He thinks it's great. He just laughs and wiggles and squiggles. So yeah, we've got him an inky dinky saddle for Christmas.
Ah, so nice. Simon, I was just saying, what happens if Wild doesn't like horses? And he was saying paternity test, then maybe adoption. I threatened my son James with adoption the other day, or boarding school, and I said to James, do whatever you're doing, stop doing what you're doing, or I'm going to have you adopted. And James just looked me square in the eyes and went, can I take the dog?
Good boy.
I was like, fucker. Anyway, what do you want for Christmas, Benjamin?
Me? It's very dull.
If you say world peace, I'm going to slap you.
Very dull. No, just really good head. No, George and I have been extra... Jenny said, what would you like for Christmas? And I said, really good head.
Perfect.
Fair. But... we're really boring because George and I moved into the farmhouse and there's loads we want to do to it. We had a conversation the other day that was, have you bought me anything for Christmas yet? She said, no, I've not got her anything. And then we said, oh, why don't we just like sort of opposed to getting each other presents? I think we're going to buy a new radiator for the upstairs bathroom for each other for Christmas.
Wow.
But just like we want stuff for the house and, you know, not got unlimited money. So that was a nice way for us both to get something that we both wanted. Yeah, that's our life.
Yeah, well, that's good.
No,
though.
That's called adulting.
You're going to make use of that, so it's fine.
Yeah, we'll use that. And George's birthday was on December 16th, so she got lots of nice things then. So we're both happy.
What about you, Simon? What do you want for Christmas?
I've said this before. I said it when I was doing my race safe thing. I think health is your wealth, and all I want for Christmas is for everyone, all my friends and family, to be healthy and have a great 2026 is what I would like.
Well, fuck that. Everyone wants a present.
We're on the Shut Up and Ride podcast. You're not going for Miss World. Come on.
He would be an excellent Miss World.
He'd be a brilliant. Be
absolutely would. I would.
I can imagine you in a bikini. what would be your special talent?
I don't know what I'd like for Christmas.
Pelvic handwriting could be a special talent.
Signing something with my bum hole. Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Come on, everyone wants something. Would you like a new horse?
Oh, I'd quite like my horse. I've got my lorry, and the living needs some attention. I quite like it sprucing up and the electrics doing and that kind of stuff. Because I've had the outside of it painted. It looks amazing.
It does. So anyone listening out here, can some make Simon's influencer wish comes true? He will share it on his YouTube and page. You imagine you got the deal? Because doesn't that really happen with massive podcasts? They go, oh, yeah, I really like Nespresso coffee. And the next day, 5 Nespresso coffee machines turn up.
Yeah, like, I mean, I really like horse boxes. I'm not sure someone's going to give me a horse box.
You never know, Simon. You got to
put
it out
there.
You
never know. Pretty unlikely, however. But I'm doing quite good. Like, it look, I have you? You've seen it, haven't you?
Yeah, it looks amazing. Yeah.
It's really good. It's like really good. I'm so pleased with it. A little present for myself.
This world.
We're all so boring. Jenny, what do you want? Jenny, you must want. Come on, be traditional and materialistic.
The thing is, when you become a mum, everyone's like, you've got to buy stuff for, and it's like, they always say, oh, it's not about me. I just want stuff for the kids. Fuck that. I want presents. I want the shinier, the better.
What do you want? Like a big ring or like a necklace or?
Yeah, but that's not going to happen.
Or some sparkly glasses.
Sparkly glasses?
Yeah, well, because you've got your glasses now, haven't you? And you were saying that they're like a new thing.
Yeah, I have my glasses now. What would I like in, oh God, yeah, I'd love all the jewellery if it wasn't for money. That would be amazing, you know, like my husband to buy me the ring you're meant to get when you've pushed out some humans? Eternity ring. Yeah, I've never had one of them. That'd be nice. No, what would I like?
I wouldn't mind having my teeth straightened.
Oh, what's wrong with your teeth?
They're terrible. They're so wobbly. Wonky. Overcrowded.
Yeah, maybe some Botox. I quite like, or a facial.
You don't need Botox.
Fucking do.
Do you? I'm sure Gregor will give you a facial if you ask him.
Benjamin, you're being very naughty today.
Sorry.
You are.
Sorry, sorry, sorry.
You're not sorry at all.
A lot of editing.
I'm just knocking them down. You set them up. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I would like all the things. But no, in Gregor's defence, he did buy me a new Arc'teryx jacket. We got 50% code off and I wanted it, so I'm already wearing it. So that was very nice. But no, I would love all the things, to be honest. I would love that tree to be full of presents for me and fuck everyone else because I like opening presents. And people who go, oh no, don't buy me a present. No, no, don't. They're lying. Everybody wants presents. I'm sorry, but they do.
I'm genuinely that person.
What, you don't want presents?
I'm really
not bothered. Not that I don't want presents, but I'm not a particularly materialistic person. So most things that I want in life, I need. And not like just saying, oh, I needed this equipment to record this podcast. I need the tack that I need for my horses to do my job. I need gym equipment to stay fit to do my job. Those things I kind of have. So everything else becomes a little bit, I'd rather spend the money. Like George and I talked about this. I said I'd rather spend the money on good food and booze and stuff and have friends around more.
Oh, we're talking, no, but I'm talking people. If money wasn't a thing. If I could just have anything I wanted under the tree.
Hey, if money's not an option, I'll have a 100x80 meter indoor arena from Andrews Bowen with tiered seating on 3 sides and 3 entrances and exits with various warm-up arenas out the entrances and exits that are joined via pathways.
Well, I'll take a moment to think about it.
With... with a professional-style lighting rig, sound box, and surround sound with heating for the seats for doing gigs in winter and a car park that can hold as many cars as would need to fill the seats. That's what
he's
I
not
like.
Thought about this, Simon, at all. Can you tell? It's just coming up with that, like that. I would have a Land Rover Defender and, like, a really cool one with all the shit on the outside that no one really knows what it does, like the funnel that you're never going to use.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
what
yeah.
I would like.
I'd like an Ogi Supremacy. Nice, that's what I'd like.
Oh, yeah, very there you
nice.
Go.
They are beautiful with a nice pop out.
Oh, I've got a question for you. I was asking this to everyone in Thailand. Everyone, I think I was just boring people because I don't like silence. If you had all the money in the world, you could buy yourself a horse or whatever. Obviously, it would go to Simon Grieve, but you could have had to have someone else ride your horse for you. Who would you get?
Well, who would I get to ride
obviously,
my horse?
Obviously, Simon, I'd get you. Yeah, who would you, if you you were going to be an owner, who would you have ride your horse? I think if it was dressage, I'd have Becky.
Yeah, I think so. A piggy springs to mind straight away.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I think she's a beautiful rider. And she's show jumping wise would be Holly Smith, because I think Holly's absolutely phenomenal. She genuinely is just, she's superb. She's superb.
What about you, Benji? Who would you have ride your horse from any of your worlds? You like a bit Lewis Carrier, don't you?
I do like a bit Lewis Carrier, to be fair. Lewis Carrier or Carl Hester would have to be the ones for the people that everybody will know. My top pick would be Manuel Vega.
Ooh.
If you've heard of him or seen him. If you've ever seen any of those videos online, there's a beautiful guy, like he rides these beautiful Portuguese. And you'll see videos of him, say, riding one without a bridle in a perfect one-time changes while he's got a horse next to him doing the same. He competes and does all the dressage stuff, but he is phenomenal.
That sounds pretty amazing.
I send you some links to him. He really is. You watch him and you just think, we're not even in the same world, are we? You're in a different world.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right, what's annoyed you this week, boys? Anything? Or are you full of the festive cheer?
Why do Christmas turkeys that are for sale go out of date on the 26th of December? That freaks me out. That makes me not want to buy that turkey, because sometimes stuff goes a bit iffy the day before its best before date. I don't want to open that turkey on Christmas Day and find out it's gone a bit bad. So why aren't Christmas turkeys labelled? Like, why aren't they thinking we need to sell turkeys that going to go off on like the 27th or the 28th.
Do you think it's to encourage you to buy it?
I don't know. That annoyed me. And parking and everything about Christmas in town. The people. Too many people.
Wow.
Too many cars.
I've really
too
been
many
annoyed
people.
This week. You're like a bar humbug.
Mine goes with that a little bit because I'm really annoyed at myself that I'm so shite at organising Christmas shopping. Like, I haven't actually done any. And it's, we've got 2 days, haven't we?
You haven't done any Christmas shopping?
No. We've got 2 days and I'm doing a full-on clinic tomorrow. Oh, and the next day. So I'm not quite sure how this is
going to
work.
Well, you're going to a clinic. Have you been doing things in London you shouldn't have, or you're holding a clinic?
No, I'm teaching a clinic. Honestly, you're so naughty.
You organise a clinic like 2 days before Christmas?
Because
who is coming on that clinic?
I do it every Tuesday. Yeah,
because he's gone to Mexico recently and he needs to pay for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's insane. You've blown my mind.
Really? Why?
Teaching a clinic 2 days before Christmas. The chaos.
Nah, it's going to be good. Everyone's going to come with festive cheer and hats on and tinsel and all that shit. So it should be really good. I'm feeling a bit
bad
about Diana.
Jenny, what's annoyed you this week?
Sorry?
Why? What's happened to her? It's all right, we're nearly done. What's annoyed me? So, God love him, you can probably hear me. My son yesterday, me and my daughter were bumboarding down the snow, sledging, and she was sat on me, and we were going at quite the rate of knots, because let's face it, gravity is not my friend, and I'm quite weighty. So we're going quite fast.
You are not.
And for some reason, I don't know what possessed him, my son decided to join the fun and leap. And the last thing I remember is seeing, as we're hurtling down the hill, my son leaping on top of us. And I think I might have blacked out for a minute because the last thing I saw was that. And he smashed into my daughter, whose whole face smashed into my face and pretty much knocked me out. And was blinding amount of pain. And I just could hear my daughter screaming. I couldn't see anything. And I could hear my husband trying to look after me and see if I, because there was blood coming out of my mouth. And I've got this hat on, but there's quite a big bruise under this hat. And I've got a lot of makeup on. And I could hear him, like, trying to look after me. And I was like, no, just go and make sure the screaming child's all right. And yeah, that was quite painful and annoying. But I just looked at my son. I was like, what possessed you?
I don't know. I thought it would be fun.
No. I know. That annoyed me because it was really painful.
That reminds me of there's a clip on it's on Instagram or TikTok or what I think there's quite it's this little I think it's a little girl and she's driving one of those little electric car thing, kids' cars, and she literally just drives over the top of her brother. Have you seen that?
I have seen that.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but that just made me think of that.
And you're literally, when Gregor said that when James kind of took off, apparently he could see in his face he regretted it the moment his feet left the ground. But there was kind of no way of return after that point. And I just saw this child like in the air and like, this is going to hurt. There's nothing I can do in this moment in time, but this is going to hurt. And it bloody did.
It's one of those ones where it's that clip where they say, you may be wondering how I got here.
Yes.
And you paused in mid-air.
This is the moment she realised she fucked up.
And you know when you're like, all I wanted when I was in Thailand was to get back for festive fun and activities. I'm like, why, God, why? I so want to love them in Christmas, but right now, fuck all of it. Yeah, so I've got quite a headache and a bruising on my face now. But yeah, that annoyed me. And I was very tolerant. I was like, it's okay, because I could see he was devastated. I was like, it's fine. You just got to realise when being a prat takes a hold, just don't be a prat. Ugh. Anyway, that annoyed me. And then, yeah, just certain plastic on beaches in Thailand really annoyed me. Just made me really sad. Made me sad. But I guess I'm not going to speak to you till 2026, boys.
Bless you.
Unless we record one before New Year. So
we can do that, can't we?
Things to look forward to in the new year.
We can record one in between Christmas and New Year, can't we?
We can. The people want it. People have been having a go at me because I've been so busy, I haven't managed to get another podcast out. Right, you beautiful humans. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you for a wonderful 2025.
On Spotify alone, our lovely listeners have listened to over 3.5 million minutes of our podcast.
Isn't that incredible?
99% more than ABBA podcast.
That's insane.
I know. We have had a 456% growth just on Spotify alone. That's not even on the other platforms. So that is down to you wonderful people who are on this crazy journey with us. So thank you, everyone who has listened. And our listeners are very loyal and we genuinely mean it, that we love you guys. And thank you for tuning in. There are still tickets. Unicorn has sold out. There is one man that keeps messaging weekly to find out if there is any tickets to the Unicorn. We are sold out. And if any spare tickets do come up, I think they're going to Miracle's owners. Because Simon was like, oh, do we have any tickets to our own tour? but there are soon tickets to Bishop Burton, where Becky Moody is coming and Cindy Prune will be there. And but your support means the world, because if we don't make some money from the tour, then we can't do the podcast because we need money to fund it. So please buy tickets. Please, then I can maybe buy myself a diamond ring. That's never going to happen. Anyway, seriously though, thank you to everyone who's listened and shared. Please keep sharing. I don't know what we meant to say. Share, like, subscribe.
Subscribe.
Yes. Yeah.
Can you tell we're good at horse riding?
Comment down below about what you might like to hear or like to see.
Yes. And please come and join us on the tour in 2026. Fucking hell, that's scary. But come and see us in January. On the 17th, Bishop Burton. And yeah, see all the things we're going to make Silly Prune and Becky Moody do. But all that's left to say is...
Shut up and ride.
I can't turn it off. I've lost my mouse. Oh, it's on the wrong
screen. Merry Christmas!
Jingle bell, rock. It's on
jingle
my face, swing, and show me your...
You're terrible.